The FHA is changing the way it does business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Financial reform is all about compromise and a mixed bag from bank earnings. First, let's ask, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P off about 1%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow shedding about 126 points at 10,599. In Europe, well, markets offer about 1% right now, and major Asian shares closed down today as well. The Hang Seng off nearly 2%. The Shanghai Index lost almost 3% on word Chinese banks may be cutting lending. We're getting word today the Federal Housing Administration is making some big changes in the way it underwrites mortgages. It's raising the premiums on mortgage insurance and tightening lending standards for some borrowers. We're going to bring in Richard DeKayser. He's president of Woodley Park Research. He joins us live this morning from Washington with some analysis. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So why is the FHA doing this?
Well, their capital, basically the cushion that protects them from loan losses, is getting thin. It still meets regulatory requirements, but it's getting thin. And the worry is that with unemployment high and home prices still languishing, that future foreclosures are going to threaten that capital base. And the way to protect from that is by raising premiums, that is to say, protecting itself by charging more for insurance on home defaults.
And sort of increasing that foundation, right?
That's right. They'll be collecting more money. Now, the problem, of course, is that that is a directly a burden on homeowners. And the FHA was... it's basically the lender of last resort in the housing market now. We used to have subprime lending, which essentially does not exist today. So the FHA's share of mortgages has gone from about 2% a few years ago up to 20%. So it does present a problem in that this lender of last resort is itself tightening credit standards. And we've had a decent recovery in housing so far this year, but it is by no means out of the woods. And this does threaten that recovery.
We got news, Richard, that construction of new homes fell 4% in December. This has a lot to do with bad weather. So, all right, the headline sounds pretty gloomy. There aren't as many houses being built. But isn't there a bright side to this, that the real estate market doesn't have so many new homes to absorb?
Well, that's right. In fact, the inventory of new homes on the market for sale has been falling for several years now. And today, or at least as of November, the last numbers we've got, is at the lowest level since 1971. So it's a good news, bad news story. We're building less. That's bad for the economy, but we're working off that glut, or what was once a glut, and that's helping reduce downward pressure on prices.
All right, Richard DeKayser from Washington. Richard, thanks.
My pleasure.
Massachusetts has a senator-elect today. Republican Scott Brown won the seat held for decades by Ted Kennedy. Now it's up to Senate Democrats to find a way to proceed without its 60-vote filibuster-proof majority. Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us this morning, live from D.C., with the fallout and a look forward as well. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So with Senate negotiations over reforming financial regulations just getting underway, how's this Massachusetts upset going to change things?
Well, it does mean Democrats have to attract some Republican support, and there are two issues at play there. One is a proposal for an independent consumer financial protection agency, which is something that's strongly backed by consumer advocates as a necessary reform. But banks and businesses say that such an agency would be too much government intrusion into the financial system. Lenders will feel like the government's looking over their shoulder and will make loans more expensive. And Peter Morici at the University of Maryland's Business School agrees that there really is no such need for an agency.
We already have consumer protection agencies within the Federal Reserve and the Federal Trade Commission. The problem is to get those folks to do their jobs and do it properly, not to rearrange the boxes and create yet another grand bureaucracy.
All right, John. So what's the other area of possible compromise to get a regulatory reform bill through the Senate in this new atmosphere?
Well, there's this proposed tax on big banks the president has made to make sure that all the bailout money is returned over the next 10 years. The soon-to-be senator from Massachusetts campaigned against the new bank tax, but especially in the face of these billion-dollar bonuses for bank executives, the fee remains very popular, a good populist issue, and the Democrats are unlikely to compromise on that issue.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Bank earnings today. Bank of America reporting a loss of about $5.2 billion. A lot of that charges on paying back government bailout money. Financials still taking some big hits from people not being able to pay back credit. And we did get word from Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo this morning that they did make a little money.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The White House has ordered by the end of the month some high-value government data be made available online at data.gov. It's part of President Obama's campaign promise touting government transparency. As Brett Neely reports, open government may also be good for business.
You may think the government just churns out paperwork. Michael DeConta sees all that as valuable information.
When you think about how much work actually goes on in the federal government, whether it's research or whether it's operational type work, there is just massive amounts of data.
DeConta is a computer expert who helped set up data.gov. He says the site is a potential goldmine for clever entrepreneurs.
To actually exploit that data takes other websites that would then turn around and use the data from data.gov.
Whole empires have already been built from government data made public, says Jake Brewer of the Sunlight Foundation Advocacy Group. He says, look at the Weather Channel that's now worth billions.
That is all taking live information, but that's government information that's been made free many years ago.
Brewer thinks if the government really follows through, entrepreneurs will create more jobs than the stimulus package has. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Finally, think of it as sort of a biting entitlement. David Freilich of Delaware County, Ohio, actually got $1,500 for being bitten by a rabid bat. County leaders were surprised about a little-known state law that provides anyone bitten by an animal with rabies can claim the money for medical reimbursement. The code stipulates the bitten person must ask for the money within 4 months. Commissioners voted to give the money to Freilich, even though he was 2 days late. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.